You're listening to the Mark Jeffries Event Podcast. This week, the story of Cvent Connect Virtual. Cvent, the leader in the event technology world, holds an annual event in Vegas, which attracts around 5,000 attendees, and I'm honored to host and moderate that. But of course, COVID came along, and Cvent had to make some pretty drastic changes. Patrick Smith is the CMO, and I can tell you he worked endless hours with his team to create quite the event. In this conversation, we talk about how they had to plan differently for content, for a vastly larger audience, how they catered for people waiting for sessions to start, how they tracked attendee behavior, and how production was completely different at every level from, of course, the usual in-person event. I am delighted to welcome Patrick Smith. Patrick Smith, welcome.
Thanks, Mark. Great to be here.
I'm really excited about this conversation because you and I and your amazing team, we worked very closely on Cvent Connect Virtual and it was epic, but we never really had a chance to sit down and talk. So I'm excited.
Likewise, we have a great story to tell.
All right, so let's just put this in perspective because obviously people could be listening to this at any point. How long ago was Cvent Connect Virtual and have you been able to, you know, catch your breath yet?
Yeah, so a great question. Cvent Connect Virtual was 2 weeks ago. I don't know if it feels like it's been a lifetime or not since then. You know how time goes. Sometimes it goes very quickly. Other times it seems like it takes a long time to pass. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's a bit of a paradox. It feels like it just happened, but it feels like a long time ago, Mark, because we've been spending a lot of time on the follow-up from the event. You know, it's great to run an event, but you do it for a reason. You do it to engage your audience. And we just had so much good feedback and so many interactions from that event that now we're following up on all of those. And that's taken a lot of work as well. So haven't really had time to breathe. I did take a bit of time off, but, you know, I still was very connected because we want to make sure we maximize all the goodness and the great conversations from Cvent Connect Virtual.
I have to say, I know we had a huge audience and we're going to come on to all of that, but the feedback even I was getting, just as the moderator, getting comments on LinkedIn, but just so much commentary, you just got the feeling that the entire industry was watching. But let's go back a little bit in time. So when the pandemic first hit and the event world just shut down, I know what my mood was like. What was the mood like at Cvent?
You know, the mood was like many other people. What is happening and what are we going to do about it? And you know, I think all of us were rocked back on our heels to some extent, but we very, very quickly moved to shore up the business and shore up our customers and make sure we respond to their needs as quickly as we could. So I think we all digested it for about a week. I was in a bunch of meetings. I was actually at a wedding. But I spent a destination wedding, but I spent a lot of time really working with the team to talk about how we're going to respond. And certainly there's a lot of employee communication that needs to happen. But when you're in the industry that we're in, Mark, that was the next question. What's this mean for the event space? So we very quickly jumped into how can we reassure our customers? How can we work with them if they have financial concerns given the state of things? What are we seeing in the marketplace? Can we give them a path out of this? And I think people look to leaders in times of crisis and they look to Cvent for answers and guidance and reassurance. And we're not medical experts in any way, shape, or form, but we do have a good lens on the industry and what it's going to look like. So it was very important for us to really harness that. And make sure that we have as many communications with our customers as possible.
But it wasn't easy because people look to those like you, like Reggie, like Chuck, and we want answers like, surely you guys must know. But we're all in the dark. And I remember thinking, wow, it's suddenly gone very quiet. People are canceling everything. But that was the calm before the storm because suddenly there was this realization that we can't go quiet, right? You can't just not put an event on. And therefore, the only option was virtual. Is that the decision that you guys also came to quite quickly?
Yeah, I think so. And one of the things that we really wanted to be careful of, too, quite honestly, was people were saying, well, is it okay to meet? Is it safe to meet? And we didn't want to counsel people either way, because we're not, again, medical experts. We're not epidemiologists. We're in no position to say you can meet safely if you have a lot of hand sanitizer. So we were very, I think, above board on that, saying, you know, we're going to help rally the industry. We're going to give you the answers such as we have, including things like, what's the sourcing volume? Because we, you know, power the Cvent supplier network with 300,000 venues. And we see, you know, we're in the midst of this ecosystem where RFPs are being transacted for event space. So we could look at there and say, how many events, you know, what's the sourcing look like? We could look in our own software and say, how many events are being created? So we had a whole wealth of data that we could look at and report back to the industry on what we're seeing in terms of when events might come back, when is sourcing actually taking place. And that's what we really focused on. And then helping give a framework for both the hospitality side and the event planning side and the marketing side on how to think about getting my events back on track and getting my program back on track, whether it now and then coming out of this and then accelerating when things get back together.
And of course, you, in addition to having to service all of your amazing clients and customers, you also had a very large event coming up fast, because we do it every year together. And this was going to be Connect, but obviously we weren't going to be in Vegas. What was the process like to reimagine the event as a virtual event? And you guys must have felt more pressure than pretty much anyone else, because everyone was going to be looking at what you did.
That's right. And we had an added twist, which was we wanted to run this event on our own new virtual platform. So not only was the industry looking to us to what a great virtual event looks like, but we were really running the first major event on our new product at the same time. So that was even more epic, if you want to call it that, because we had that consideration. So we had to reimagine what a virtual experience would look like that gives you the same feeling of being somewhere important, of really knowing you're part of an industry that is rich, that is robust, that is exciting, and really do things to make sure people are wowed behind their computer screen, engaged behind their computer screen, interested, you know, in that virtual setting when you can't be somewhere in person and have the benefit of a great venue. So we really went heavy on high production values and very thoughtful content. Because we know there's a lot of distractions, as your video pointed out, I think, in the beginning of Connect, Mark. Right. There's dogs barking, and there's puppies running around, and kids, and so
cocktails
forth.
Cocktails to be made.
Exactly. Cocktails are made with two hands, like you were doing. You know, all those things are distractions, and we know that. So how can we make something so compelling that we can capture people's attention and keep it? And I think we did that pretty well based on the feedback that we saw.
Yeah, and we will come on to that. And being part of the production, just to put people in the picture, you decided to hire what was in effect a television studio and man it like a television production. I was lucky enough to be able to come down to the location for a couple of days. But the majority of our guests, of course, were piped in virtually, but there were many that came and joined us in the studio as well. Was this just a case of let's see how much we can put together? Or were you, in fact, very specific in your planning? I mean, obviously, you knew that timings had to be different.
Yep.
No one could stand and speak for an hour or so. Everything had to be sharper. When you sat down with your team to plan this, as so many of our friends and our clients are doing right now, what was top of mind for you and the team?
The top of mind was making sure that we had enough of the right content to keep people's attention. So we could have, you know, we didn't want to have, and we couldn't pull off, you know, 50 breakout sessions. So I think we only did about 28. So at a typical Cvent in-person event, it'd be more like 100. So we had to be really smart about what sort of sessions we want. But we also knew that we didn't just want this to be like a boring webinar where you watch a slide deck and watch someone talk. And people are sitting at their computers maybe 3 minutes before an event starts. And in Vegas, they'd be on their phone or maybe at the pool, you know, really quickly looking at the nice weather and then coming in or looking at the venue around them. Here, they're sitting in front of a computer screen. So we did a run of show for the 5 minutes before a session and during a session, all the different video elements we want. And we had waiting room content. content. So these are the decisions that we had to make because you didn't want someone staring at a blank screen. We wanted to keep them engaged and interested even a couple minutes before a session would start to then lead into that session. So the run of show and the level of production you need to have in a virtual event is really astounding. And I think something that's going to catch people by surprise when they want to do a virtual event.
I was chatting with your amazing colleague, Rachel Andrews, who put so much of it together. And we agreed that this is, in essence, and it sounds crazy, but in essence, this is much harder than putting on an actual live event in a hotel or a ballroom.
You know, it has different challenges. I think it's harder, certainly, from the production standpoint, because it's great to be able to record things. And we had a fine mix of recorded and live sessions. But there's something kind of simplistic about walking into a ballroom, grabbing a clicker, having your slides on a projector screen near you, and walking through it, and then it's over.
Right.
Versus something that's going to last over time, something that you know, you're not sitting in that room with a captive audience. Someone can be distracted. So that's why we had to be really smart about not just having a boring presentation, but do a lot of animation, do a lot of things inside a presentation, like a TV show, frankly. That's the direction that we and the design direction that we really went all in on.
I 100% agree with you on that. It is like we're creating television. But the other side of giving, especially your executives, that recorded moment, because yes, normally they go onto the stage, they've rehearsed for several days, they'll do their presentation, they'll get off and they'll go, oh, I wish I'd done that a bit better, but it was fine, it was good, the response was great. Now, though, you come off that pre-record and they go, do you know what? I think I could have done it better. Let's do it again. And so you sometimes end up with, I guess, an executive or a speaker or a guest wanting to do two or three versions. Did you handle that the way you wanted to, or did you just let them feel comfortable?
Well, we absolutely did multiple takes. And I'll add another complexity. We had multiple camera angles. So for every one of the sessions that we shot, for the recorded sessions, we had to pick which angle we wanted. So it's really interesting how much you become a video editor and a TV producer. And that's what we had to do. And that's the beauty of having just a live presentation where you do it and it's over with. There's no going back. Here, you can go back, as you mentioned. Yeah. So you can keep, I think, getting yourself into knots, like I want it to be perfect and I want it to be perfect. And we were pretty quick to point out where we thought there was diminishing returns, where it's good enough. And there's ways that you can add video elements inside of a shot to maybe cover up a weird look from a presenter or something. So there's all those options you have when you have a recorded session. But it was definitely something that was very different from a live event.
Tell me about the registrations. Now, normally when we're in Vegas and we do our main event, what do we get? Like 5,000 people?
Yep.
So
nearly 5,000.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How many do we get in the virtual?
As of about 10 minutes ago, you know, when I looked, because we keep it's on demand, right? You keep having people come in. It's over 43,000.
Wow.
So about 43,200 registrants with a very strong show rate.
Now, what do you mean by show rate?
Meaning that we had about 75% of the people that registered for the virtual event attended either live or on demand.
Wow. And do you find that each unique visitor experiences a presentation or a piece once, or are you aware of them watching it again?
Absolutely, because the virtual attendee hub solution that we have allows you to track and understand attendee behavior. So we know what sessions they watched. We know if they watched it twice or three or four times. That's all built into the tool because that's the level of insight that you want to get as a marketer and as a planner.
So let's talk about the tool a bit, because this was something you guys were very proud of. Be honest with me. Were you building something before the pandemic hit, or was the pandemic the catalyst that had you guys go, right, let's do this and let's do it now?
It's a great question, Mark, because I think it would surprise people to let them know that in 2019, 20,000 virtual events were run through Cvent. And we're really well known for registration, for building an event website, and all the analytics around an event. To the extent that people ran virtual events, and a lot of those were smaller, think webinars, things like that, they wanted to run that through Cvent, so they were the system of record of an event program. And a lot of the innovations we were making around our mobile experience, when you build the mobile experience, you also are creating at the same same time a web experience too that you can feature. That was innovation that we had already in the works for many years that we quickly pivoted to virtual. So I think we had the foresight and the roadmap and the innovation in place to quickly build this solution. It's not something we spun up from scratch.
And I have to say, it did look really nice. There are several platform organizations out there. And I tell you, and I think you and I have shared this offline as well, that the number one question I get asked more than anything else from my clients, who they know I live and breathe this, so they always ask me these questions. And the number one is, what platforms have you seen that are any good? People are confused. They're sometimes not sure what they're actually buying. Is it the look? Is it the analytics? Right. Is it the usability? What would your advice be? Obviously, you now have a Cvent platform, but what makes a platform good?
Well, I'll tell you, the first order of business is, does it work? I mean, I think we've seen some high profile examples of virtual events crashing. Yeah. So I think we're hearing from a variety of people saying, can you just give me something that's dependable? Can you just give me something that will stand up to massive volumes if you get the massive volumes you want? So that's first and foremost. But the second thing we hear is, give me something that can engage the audience. And that's what we're going all in on with our platform as we continue to build it out. And we have a lot more on the product roadmap that we're going to be coming out with in very short order. You know, I just came out of a meeting a couple hours ago where we reviewed the roadmap again, and there's a lot of exciting things coming out. But it's all about engagement. Again, how do you engage someone from behind a computer screen, whether that's chat, questions, live polling, gamification? These are the things that we're really building and enhancing that we already have in the tool to some extent. So that's what people want. They want to engage their audience and they want to keep them interested, but fundamentally it has to work.
Wise words, great advice. And you're right, we live in a world of distraction. I mean, look, even when they're in the audience in Vegas, they can be distracted by their cell phones, or they might want to head out the room and do a quick phone call. But when you're in front of your laptop or your computer, the distractions are relentless and they're constantly coming in right in front of your eyes. So in terms of engaging your audience, was there anything that you were really thrilled with in terms of how it worked? And again, honesty, anything that didn't work that maybe you'd do differently next time?
Yeah, I think on the didn't work front, I mean, there's certain things that we had workarounds for some of the engagement functionality that we're actively building that will be here soon. So some of those areas we want to improve, but we thought the product was in a really good spot to run this massive event on. What we're really excited about though, Mark, is that we captured 1.1 million engagement touch points across the 2 days.
And that's a touch point growing. Can be as little as what?
A touch point can be what session I attended a session. That's a touch point. I went to visited a solution booth. I visited an exhibitor booth, or I downloaded a piece of content. That's a touch point. I ask a question. That's a touch point. So these are all the different ways that the people can navigate an event and a virtual experience. And our attendee hub is built with this in mind. And there's an engagement score that is captured as someone engages with the event. So it gives you really great insight into not only buying interest if you're running an event to sell something, but also just understanding your attendee behavior and what they're interested in, what they like and what they don't like. And a lot of people will use this tool for internal meetings. So it's important if you're running a sales kickoff, for instance, you want to know attendee insights as to what they engage with and what they didn't engage with. And that's fundamentally built into the tool.
It's fascinating. So when you now look at all of this data that you've gathered, you have the same challenge that so many huge organizations have, which is you have a feast of data. Now you need to know what are the right questions to ask of it and how can you build pipeline and business from it. So in all seriousness, have you and the team been able to start to monetize some of this insight and find ways to continue to build business because of the event and because of the software that you used?
Absolutely. I mean, we generated tens of thousands of leads from this event because of all the attendees and because so many people showed up and did things. That's guiding our sales conversations. If we saw that someone went to three sessions for a related product and then visited a solution booth, we've built views that allow sales to look at all of that insight in one screen so they can then use the insights of the attendee interest in their sales conversations. So that's all the work that you mentioned of, we had a moment to breathe. A lot of the work being done since the event until now was enabling sales to have these great conversations by giving them this insight that honestly would be tougher to get potentially at an in-person event. And this is one of the great value propositions of a virtual event.
Do you see a future for hybrid where the two are combined?
No question. And that's what we're really excited about. And that's really what Reggie said in his CEO keynote, why we believe there's a golden age of events coming out, because people are going to get really good at these virtual events. And they're much harder, as we talked about, than you might imagine. So you're going to get good at this, and you're going to go through some highlights and lowlights on the way. And I think you're not going to want to give that up. So you're going to want to use virtual events and do virtual events when they make sense. But you're also going to want to meet in person. I think, Mark, you've emceed so many big events and you do such a great job with it that you know the power of being in an audience together. And you're going to find the core group of customers, your core advocates are going to want to meet in person. But then you're going to want to open this up to the huge numbers virtually. And that's why hybrid is going to be so important, which is a business opportunity for AV companies, business opportunity for event technology companies like Cvent, business opportunity for the hotels and venues as well, because I've been on the receiving end of a big Wi-Fi bill before. And they mark that up quite a bit. For good reason, because a lot of bandwidth is used. There's a good revenue opportunity emerging for the hoteliers and venues when hybrid really takes shape.
And it's true. And it was great, wasn't it, to have CEOs of the most incredible hotel, global hotel organizations at the Cvent meeting and being interviewed and answering those questions. I had fascinating discussions with them. Patrick, this is amazing. And I have to say, what really comes out is this huge optimism. So if you have a final message that you'd like to leave all of the listeners of this podcast with, what would that message be in terms of the future of the event industry?
Yeah, we're really excited about it because we think the virtual event has unlocked an entire new way of putting on an event. But even so, it's never going to capture the value of an in-person event. And they're going to coexist nicely. And I think you're going to know what events are great for virtual delivery and what events need to be in person, and then the hybrid side. And when we come out of this, that's why we think it's going to be the golden age of events, because I believe more events are going to be run than ever before because of what we've learned with virtual events and how to apply those. So it's going to be, a rough road for a period of time yet, but you look, a couple years down the line, and it's going to be a very robust industry, because you're also going to have this pent up demand for people who just want to get in a room with like-minded colleagues and have some fun and learn and network. And that's going to be a voracious appetite that we think the event industry is going to serve very, very well.
Patrick Smith, thank you so much for your time, for your friendship. Would you also do me a favor and send my love and best wishes to the whole team? They did an incredible job at Cvent.
I certainly will, Mark. It's been a pleasure working with you. You and I have known each other for quite a while. Thanks for having me on your podcast, and we look forward to having you at our events, including Cvent Connect Europe, which is coming up this year. So for anyone in Europe who's listening to this podcast, please stay tuned and join us for a great event November 10th and 11th.
Looking forward to it. Thanks again, Patrick.
Thanks, Mark.
Well, the golden age of events is coming. Nice. Big thanks again to Patrick for that insight. And I'd also like to personally thank Kayla Summers and Rachel Andrews for their help and inspiration, both beforehand and especially on site. Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time.